In 2004, our progressive Calvinist cousins, the United Church of Christ, initiated a publicity campaign that was designed, among other things, to make public and plain their absolute support for and embrace of and welcome to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer Christians. The publicity campaign, which you may have seen, had the tagline, "God is still speaking," and then had the graphic of a large red comma. The idea being that the great sentence of God's communication is still going on. The period has yet to be dropped, which means we are still learning about God, still hearing new words of grace, still making sense of God's love. And part of that ongoing revelation has been an evolving understanding around how important it is for Christian communities to get over the homophobia that has marked our theology and our spirituality and our worship, well, for millennia, actually, but which has, I think, intensified in some Christian circles as our society has changed to become more open to things like marriage equality and the idea that sexual orientation and gender identity define us in ways that should be protected by civil rights laws. Now, I'll be honest with you. When the United Church of Christ came out with that "God is still speaking" campaign with its beautiful red comma, I was a little bit jealous. I wanted Presbyterians to be that awesome. I liked that campaign, and I liked that campaign because it was clever and because it was altogether righteous, and it spoke truths that I recognize as important. God still speaks to us. And I'm pretty sure I heard God's voice when I went to the website for a project that a friend of mine is doing. This friend of mine is named Mason Funk. He's a filmmaker, and in fact, some of you met Mason because Mason and his husband Jay did a screening for Mason's film Anchor Baby here at Montclair Presbyterian Church a few years back. And what Mason is doing now in this new project is he is filming interviews with pioneers in the LGBTQ community, and he's archiving those films as a way of preserving important stories from a movement that has truly transformed the United States and the world. So, if you're interested, you can go to Mason's website. The project is called Outwards, and the website is called theoutwardsarchive.org. The Outwards Archive being like all one word. Anyway, if you go there, you can see clips from Mason's interviews. And some of those clips remind me that God is still speaking to us. For example, if you go to the Outwards website, you can find a clip from an interview of a man named Richard Zaldivar. Mr. Zaldivar is a community organizer from Los Angeles, and kind of his claim to fame is that he helped build America's first publicly funded memorial to honor Latino victims of the AIDS epidemic. He's also a person of faith who attends church every Sunday at Our Lady of Angels Roman Catholic Cathedral in LA, where he sits in the front pew with his partner, and he does this even when the extremely conservative Archbishop of Los Angeles is leading the Mass. And when he was asked about his ongoing participation in the Roman Catholic Church, and in particular that Roman Catholic congregation, his response was this. He said, "I am political. I know that when I abandon that seat, I have no power. There was a time when the Democratic Party banned a gay caucus, and we didn't leave the Democratic Party. Or when the world banned homosexuality, we didn't leave the earth. We changed it. If we really believe in our faith, and if we really believe we deserve a place at the table, we don't leave the table. We change it." Amen? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. But these aren't just what one former pastor of Montclair Presbyterian Church might have called the Now Testament. Rather, the tenacious spiritual persistence articulated by Richard Zaldivar echoes the kind of persistence which St. Paul writes about in his second letter to the Corinthians, which Diane just read to us. Persistence which is afflicted but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. This kind of persistence has marked the lives of those inside the church and outside the church who have led our society and churches like ours to a greater awareness of the richness of God's love. And the church, by which I mean this congregation and our denomination and the whole body of Christians everywhere, the church is better for the persistence of all the saints, and particularly we are better for the persistence of those saints who have called us to a wider embrace of the people of God. Now, we're Presbyterians, and the Presbyterian Church is not the Roman Catholic Church. The Presbyterian Church does not have a pope who sends mixed messages about homosexuality. The Presbyterian Church does not have an ultra-conservative archbishop who would deny any of us a seat at the table. Now, to be sure, we have conservative pastors and conservative congregations and conservative members in our denomination, but within the last 4 years, within the Presbyterian Church, every institutional and legal barrier to full inclusion for LGBT Presbyterians has fallen. I've been the pastor of Montclair Presbyterian Church for 4 years, and since being your pastor, I have celebrated with you our denomination's decisions to ordain LGBTQ folk and to embrace marriage equality. Those were huge moments in the life of our church in which God spoke a new word to us. And it's fairly recent. We celebrated together. But as we were celebrating, some of us also asked a very important question. And that question is, now what? We have been working together to see these changes for so long. What do we do now? In fact, the work of full inclusion in the Presbyterian Church was so important to this congregation that we didn't just fly a pride flag when almost no other churches were flying pride flags. Rather, we remodeled the sanctuary and we put the colors of the pride flag in our ceiling as stained glass skylights. That's how important this work is to us. But now what? What's the next step now that these legal and denominational barriers to full inclusion have been deconstructed? What is next? Well, here's what I hope happens next. Here's what I hope is the next step for us. Just as our congregation and congregations like ours help to move the Presbyterian Church away from homophobic exclusion, I hope Montclair Presbyterian Church and congregations like ours can help move our denomination past mere inclusion to full integration. It is one thing to say you have a place at the table. It's another thing altogether to say this is your table. And furthermore to say this is our table together. We who have taken that second step, we have to help the Presbyterian Church as a denomination to change its understanding of who is the guest and who is the host. Or, to use another metaphor, who is the student and who is the teacher. Now, our church table, thanks be to God, looks different from the Presbyterian table 50 years ago, or even 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago. And because the table has changed, those of us sitting at the table have a lot to learn, especially if, like me, we didn't have to fight for a place at the table. And one of the ways that I, as a straight male whose gender identity is very mainstream, one of the ways that I want to learn while sitting at the table, and one of the ways I hope the entire church, Presbyterian and otherwise, I hope will learn from the LGBTQ community as we sit at the table. One of the ways I want to learn has to do with the kind of persistence that Richard Zaldivar speaks about in the Outwards clip that I told you about earlier in the sermon. The kind of persistence described by St. Paul in this morning's lesson from 2 Corinthians. I want to learn how to practice that kind of persistence. And I want the whole church to learn that kind of persistence. I hope every follower of Jesus, every self-professed Christian will learn to sit in the front row of the pew and stay there and stay put until unjust rules have changed and everyone has a place at the table. That's what I want to learn. I want us to learn how to sit in the front rows of the pews and stay there. Have persistence until everyone has a place at the table. God is still speaking. And we have much to learn as God speaks to the church through the stories of those who have led the struggle for inclusion, for a place at the table. And one of the ways the church has to learn is that the church has to learn to emulate the persistence of those saints who sat in the front pew, compelling the church to make a space at the table. Dearly beloved, some among us have been sitting in the front pew demanding change for a very long time. We must honor that persistence, and the rest of us, now we have to get down to that front pew and to make our presence known. We need to join in the work of transformation until all of God's children have a place at the table. We need to do this in the ongoing struggle for LGBTQ rights, and we can sit in the front pew demanding change for all sorts of reasons. I hope we will sit in the front pew until our nation's immigration laws change, until children are no longer separated from their parents at the border. I hope we will sit in the front pew with persistence, demanding change until every child has access to a quality education and until every person can get the medical attention she needs or he needs without going broke. I hope we will sit in the front pew demanding a place at the table until brown and black Americans share equally in our nation's wealth and opportunities. I hope we will sit in the front pew demanding a place at the table until our nation decides to take responsibility for its role in climate change. I hope we will sit in the front pew with joyful persistence until no Muslim American needs to fear her government. I hope we will sit in the front pew and not stand up until no child goes to bed on an empty stomach. And when we have this persistence, we will have heard the voice of God who speaks still, and we will have responded faithfully. In a few minutes, we will be celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion, and when we do, please come to the table knowing that a beautiful diversity of humanity also has a place at God's table. Come ready to listen as the word of God speaks to us still, and come to be strengthened for the persistence necessary to live faithfully until the day when all God's children truly know that they have a place at the table. Thanks be to God.